بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى حدثنا مسدد قال حدثنا إسماعيل بن إبراهيم قال حدثنا زياد بن مخراك قال حدثني تيسلة بن مياس قال كنت مع النجدات فأصبت ذنوبا لا أراها إلا من الكبائر فذكرت ذلك لابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال ما هي قلت كذا وكذا قال ليست هذه من الكبائر هن تسع الإشراك بالله وقتل نسمة والفرار من الزحف وقذف المحسنة وأكل الربا وأكل مال اليتيم وإلحاد في المسجد والذي يستسخر وبكاء الوالدين من الأقوك قال لي ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما أتفرق من النار وتحب أن تدخل الجنة قلت إي والله قال أحي والداك قلت عندي أمي قال فوالله لو ألنت لها الكلام وأطعمتها الطعام لتدخلن الجنة ما اجتنبت الكبائر. تيسلة ابن مياس says that I was with the Najdat. Those people who were the companions and followers of Amir ibn Najdah. And Amir ibn Najdah was one of the leaders of the deviated sect during the period of Ali radiyallahu anhu's reign, who were known as Al-Khawarij. So Taysala ibn Mayyas says that I was with the Najdat. I was in the company of those who followed Amir ibn Najdah. So basically I was with some individuals, some members of the deviated sect Al-Khawarij, and I was part of them. And whilst I was with them, فَأَسَبْتُ ذُنُوبًا, I committed sin. لَا أَرَاهَا إِلَّا مِنَ الْكَبَائِرِ, which I considered to be from the kabair only, from the major sins only. So I made certain mistakes, I committed certain crimes, I committed certain sins regarding the status of which I was unaware, but I assumed that they must be from Al-Kabair, they must be from the major sins. Thereafter I turned away from this deviated sect and I was honored with the company of the great Sahabi, Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. So one day, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted me the opportunity, I mentioned those crimes, those sins to Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, in order to find a solution, so that those sins, those crimes can be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu in reply asked, "Ma hiya? Can you tell me what those crimes were, what those sins were, so that I am in a position to guide you? I am in a position to determine whether they are from Al-Kabair or not, whether they are from major sins or from minor sins." قُلْتُ كَذَا وَكَذَا. So I said, such and such a sin. This sin, this crime, that crime. I did this, I did that. قَالَ لَيْسَتْ هَذِهِ مِنَ الْكَبَائِرِ. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma replied that these actions are not from major sins. It is only your assumption. They are not from major crimes. They are not major sins. هُنَّ تِسْعُونَ. The major sins are 9. And then he enumerated the 9 major sins. Number 1, Al-Ishraku Billah. Associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shirk, which is the opposite of Tawheed. Associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a major sin. It is a major crime. It is the most major crime. It is the greatest crime. A sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, "Ayyu dhanbi a'zamu inda Allahi ta'ala?" Which is the gravest crime in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam replied, "An taj'ala lillahi niddan wa huwa khalaqaka." You create a partner for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has created you. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "Ijtanibu as-sab'al mubiqat." Abstain from those 7 crimes which destroys a person, which destroys the future of a person, which destroys the deen of a person, which destroys a person's friendship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which destroys the iman of a person, which destroys the spirituality of a person. اجتنبوا السبع الموبقات. Someone asked, "Ma hunna ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what are these 7 crimes which becomes a means of destruction for a person from all aspects? The first crime that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enumerated was shirk. He said, "Al-ishraku billah," associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, "Al-kabairu," the major sins are al-ishraku billah. The very first that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enumerated was associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, "Ala unabbi'ukum bi akbaril kabair? Shall I not inform you of the sins which are the gravest from amongst the major sins?" So you have 2 categories of sins, the minor sins and the major sins. And from amongst the major sins, the most gravest, the most dangerous. The Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in said, "Bala ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Why not, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Yes, we want to know. So we know these dangerous crimes and we are able to abstain from them. The first that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam enumerated was al-ishraku billah, associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Luqman alayhi salam one day began advising his son. The first advice he gave was, Ya bunayya la tushrik billah. O my beloved son, do not associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna shirka la zulmun azeem. Indeed, associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a grave crime. It is a grave sin. Inna Allah la yakfiru an yushraka bihi. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive associating partners with Him. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Other than associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes, Allah will forgive. وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ افْتَرَى إِثْمًا عَظِيمًا. One who associates partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any form, indeed, he has invented a great sin. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ ظَلَّ ظَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. One who associates partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, indeed, he has gone astray very far. فَقَدْ ظَلَّ ظَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. So shirk is a heinous crime. It is a very grave sin. It is abhorred by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because tawheed is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Monotheism, tawheed is the haq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And its opposite, polytheism, is violating the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, it is very, very grave in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is very much disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Quran, which consists of 114 chapters, beginning from Surah Al-Fatiha to Surah An-Nas, discusses three topics mainly. There are many injunctions, many ahkam, many forms of guidance, many guidelines found in the Quran. But the fundamental three messages that the Quran gives in every single surah, which is understood by the mufassireen, the ulama, those who have a firm grip on the knowledge of the Quran, on the knowledge of the ahadith, on the knowledge of the Sharia, the three fundamental messages that the Quran relays, the three fundamental points that the Quran emphasizes over and over again are, number one, the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alone in His being and person, and He is alone in His attributes. Allah is alone in His dhat, in His being, in His person. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like Him. There is no other being like Him. There is no other person like Him. So there is no one equal to Him. There is no other person from his kind, from the kind of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kul huwa Allahu ahad. Say, He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is unique. He is unique. There is nothing like Him. Allahu samad. He is totally independent. He is not in need of anybody. He is not in need of anything. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. Neither He has given birth to anybody, nor has He been given birth. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. There is no one like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Tawheed fi Zat, He is alone in His being, in His person. There is no one from His kind. There is no other God. There is no other deity. There is no other Allah. There is no other creator. He does not have a father. He does not have a son. He does not have a cousin. He does not have a brother. Allah is only one. So Tawheed fi Dhat is His right. And Tawheed fi Sifat is also His right. Tawheed fi Sifat. In His attributes, He is alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has certain attributes which are exclusively for Him. No one is His partner in those attributes. Tawheed fi dhat and Tawheed fi sifat is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without which a person can not become a Muslim, without which a person cannot remain a Muslim. In order to become a believer, in order to remain a believer, a person has to have the aqeedah of Tawheed fi dhat and Tawheed fi sifat. Tawheed means Allah is alone in His being, in His person. There is nothing like Him. In His kind, He is the only one. And He has no partner in any of His attributes which are exclusive for Him. And the Quran and the Ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam have made it very clear which attributes are exclusively with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The opposite of Tawheed fi Zat is Shirk fi Zat. And the opposite of Tawheed fi Sifat is Shirk fi Sifat. So Shirk fi Dhat and Shirk fi Sifat makes a person polytheist. It takes a person out of the fold of Islam. For as long as a person is involved in Shirk fi Dhat or Shirk fi Sifat, he cannot be accepted as a believer in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a person accepts Tawheed fi Dhat, Tawheed fi Sifat, and enters the fold of Islam, but thereafter he becomes a victim of the crime of Shirk fi Dhat or Shirk fi Sifat, again he will go out of the fold of Islam. So Shirk is of two types: Shirk fi Dhat and Shirk fi Sifat. The Quran, over and over again, emphasizes this issue of Tawheed. Because without Tawheed, a person can never become successful, neither in this world nor in the hereafter. And Shirk is abhorred by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is very much disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every chapter from the 114 chapters of the Quran will discuss Tawheed. Number two, it will discuss Risala, the prophethood of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And number three, it will discuss Ma'ad, resurrection after death, life after death, that there is another life. Shirk fi Zat. Here, Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma says that the kabair are nine. Number one, al-ishraku billah. associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is of two types. Shirk fi zat and shirk fi sifat. What is shirk fi zat? Shirk fi zat can be divided into two parts. Number one, to ascribe partners with the person of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or with the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means to say that there is someone else like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is also my God and this other object is also my God. Allah is my deity. I worship Allah. And with Allah, I also worship the malaika. Because the angels are also deity as far as I am concerned. Or Allah is my deity and the sun is also my deity. Allah is my deity, the moon is also my deity. This is ascribing partners with the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the person of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That there is another God. There is another deity. There is someone else who is worthy of worship. Allah has a son. I worship Allah and the son. Allah has a wife. I worship Allah and his wife. Na'udhu billah. Allah has a brother. I worship Allah and Allah's brother. So this is the first part of shirk fi zat. And the second part of shirk fi zat, to behave in devotion with a being other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way you would behave with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is also shirk fi zat. What is the aqidah? What is the faith? Allah is only one in his person, in his being. So tawhid fi zat is there. Allah is only one. لَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا عَدْ لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this person, despite acknowledging, despite recognizing that there is only one deity, that is Allah, he behaves with his sheikh in certain aspects how he would behave with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, he would perform ruku in front of his sheikh. This is also shirk fi zat. He would prostrate and make sajda in front of his sheikh. He would go to a grave of a pious person. He would go to a grave of a nabi, alayhi salam. He would go to a grave of a wali. He would go to a grave of a sahabi, radiyallahu anhu. And he would behave in certain aspects how he should only behave with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would prostrate, he would make ruku, he would make sajda, he would make tawaf. He would raise his hands and supplicate and ask from that wali that the wali should fulfill his needs. He would ask from the nabi that the nabi should fulfill his needs, as he would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person slaughters an animal for the pleasure of a wali, for the pleasure of his sheikh, for the pleasure of a nabi. This is also shirk fi zat. So shirk fi zat has two parts. Part number one, to assume someone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be a god with Allah. Whether superior to Allah, equal to Allah, or inferior to Allah. And number two, to behave with a makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
despite acknowledging that this is not a deity. He is not a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He acknowledges that. But he behaves with that being, he behaves with that object, he behaves with that creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way or in certain ways or in certain aspects that one behaves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. Performing ruku, performing sajda, performing qiyam, raising hands in prayers and asking from that object or from that being or from that person. This is also shirk fi zat. Many Muslims make a great error in this respect. They have tawheed fi zat as far as the first part is concerned. And they believe that tawheed fi zat is to believe that Allah is alone in His being and in His person. There is no one else like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no other God besides Allah. Tawheed is complete now. Tawheed fi zat is complete. Performing ruku, performing sajda, performing tawaf of anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not shirk fi zat. It's got nothing to do with shirk. This is where many people go out of the fold of Islam. We perform salat daily and many rakats daily. And before concluding our salat, what do we say? At-tahiyyatu lillah was-salawatu wat-tayyibat. Every verbal devotion is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. At-tahiyyatu lillah was-salawatu lillah. Every physical devotion is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wat-tayyibatu lillah. Every monetary devotion is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. Qul, say, O my Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna salati wa nusuki wa mahiyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. My salat, my sacrifice, my life, my death, my living, my dying is everything for Allah rabbil alameen. La sharika lah. La sharika lah. He has no partner. So he has no partner in his being, he has no partner in his person, and he has no partner when it comes to these ibadat, these worships, these actions, which are exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is shirk fi zat. And the second type of shirk is shirk fi sifat. And what is shirk fi sifat? To ascribe partners for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in attributes which are exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are certain attributes which are exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in those attributes is also shirk. So you have a person who believes that there is nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no one like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is only one God. There is only one deity. There is only one person worthy of worship. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he does not behave with anything or anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that behavior which is exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which can be called worship. So he doesn't prostrate before anything or anyone. He doesn't make qiyam in front of anyone or anything. He doesn't make sajda in front of anything or anyone. He doesn't sacrifice animal in the name of anything or anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So alhamdulillah, shirk fi His zat is not there, but he ascribes partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in those attributes, in those qualities, which are exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means he believes that this particular quality, which is exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is also found in this person. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran, Inna Allaha ala kulli shay'in qadir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed is powerful over everything. So having qudra, having the qudra to control each and every atom in this universe is an attribute exclusive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has qudra, who has power over everything in the universe. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can cause harm. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can bring profit. Now to believe that my sheikh has the power to bring harm to me and my sheikh has the power to profit me without the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has the total power. This is shirk fi sifa. Qudrat, this is the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. Wa'alam anna al-ummata lawi ijtama'at ala an yanfa'uka bi shay'in. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that Abdullah ibn Abbas, listen carefully and embed this aqidah in your heart and mind. Anna al-ummata lawi ijtama'at ala an yanfa'uka bi shay'in. If the whole nation comes together to benefit you a little, ala an yanfa'uka bi shay'in, benefit you a little, lan yanfa'uk, they will never be able to benefit you, illa bi shay'in qad katab Allahu lak, except that much which Allah has decreed for you. Wa anna al ummata law ijtama'at, and if the nation comes together, ala an yadhurruka bi shay'in, to harm you, cause a little bit of harm to you, a little harm to you, lan yadhurruk, they will not be able to harm you, never be able to harm you, illa bi shay'in qad katab Allahu lak, but that much which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for you. So total qudrah is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. And if anybody is able to benefit us, or if anybody is able to harm us, they are only able to benefit us because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted them the liberty to do so. If they are able to profit us, they are only able to profit us because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted them the authority to profit us. Because qudrah, power to control everything, is only in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ لَا أَمْلِكُ لِنَفْسِي نَفْعًا وَلَا ذَرًّا إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that, oh my messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, لَا أَمْلِكُ لِنَفْسِي, I have no authority over loss or profit. I have no authority over harm or benefit for myself except that which Allah desires. That means I cannot bring profit and benefit to myself, and I cannot remove harm or loss from myself without the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and during the conversation he said, Ma sha Allahu wa ma shi'ita, what Allah desires and what you desire, what Allah wills and what you will. What Allah wills and what you will. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became angry and furious. And he said, do not say, ma sha Allahu wa ma shi'ta. Who was he referring to, this sahabi, radiyallahu anhu? To Sayyidul Mursaleen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The greatest wali that the world has seen. Sayyidul Mursaleen, the leader of all the Anbiya, the leader of all the Rusul. The best in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, Masha Allahu wa ma tasha. What Allah wills and what you will. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became angry and furious. And he said, no, do not say Masha Allahu wa ma shita. Say Masha Allahu wahdahu. What Allah alone wills. Because only that can happen. What Allah alone wills. Wa ma tasha'una illa an yasha Allahu rabbul alameen. What you desire, what you wish, what you will, does not happen in this world. What Rabbul Alameen desires, what he decrees, what he wills, what he wishes, only that happens. So this quality is exclusive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has control over everything. So he controls the profit and the loss. He controls the benefit and the harm. He controls the sustenance. Rizq is totally in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rizq of any type. Material rizq or spiritual rizq. Material rizq controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. And spiritual rizq controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions a hadith Qudsi where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ibadi, O my servants, kullukum dhalun, each and every one of you is astray, illa man hadaituhu, but the one who I guide. So each and every one of you is zero as far as spiritual wealth is concerned, without my guidance. When I desire and when I will, when I wish, to give you spiritual wealth, then only you can come on hidayah. And material wealth, material rizq, Ya ibadi, O my servants, kullukum ja'i' illa man at'amtuhu. Each and every one of you is hungry, except for that person whom I feed. Material rizq, Ya ibadi, O my servants, kullukum arin illa man kasawtuhu. Each and every one of you is naked, except for that person whom I clothe. وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There is not a single creature on this earth which is not provided for by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقِ. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who provides sustenance. So harm, benefit, profit, loss is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is in the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yahabu liman yasha'u inasan. Granting children is only in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yahabu liman yasha'u inasan. For whomsoever he desires, he grants females only. Daughter after daughter is being born. And they are trying everything. But no, son is not being born. يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا. For whomsoever he desires, he grants daughters. وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورِ. And for whomsoever he desires, he grants sons only. Five sons, six sons, seven sons. The parents desire a daughter, but no, it is only in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People resort to amils. They go to amils. They go to peers. They go to the graves of the awliya, the graves of the anbiya. Only Allah knows what people do to get children, or to get a male child, or to get a female child. Whereas Allah declares, I am the Qadir. This quality is exclusively for me. يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورِ Whomsoever I wish, I give daughters. Whomsoever I wish, I give sons. أَوْ يُزَوِّجُهُمْ ذُكْرَانٌ وَإِنَاثًا And whomsoever I desire, I give sons and daughters both. وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَقِيمًا And for whomsoever I desire, I give nothing. A very rich and wealthy person, but he does not have children. And a poor person who is barely managing to support himself and the wife, Allah grants him 10 children. It is in my life. Sickness is brought by me and sickness is removed by me. It is in my control. Sickness is brought by me, sickness is removed by me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to pray for the sick, what did he used to say? Allahumma, O Allah, adhibil bas, remove the sickness. He never used to say that I will cure your sickness like the Amils do today. Don't worry, I have cured so many people with the same problem that you have. And we also leave the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the person who leaves the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where he should be knocking, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes him go to 100 doors, 1000 doors. Rest of your life, go here, go there, go here, go there. Allah disgraces such people who becomes the victims of this crime, shirk. Allahumma, O Allah, adhibil bas, remove the sickness. Rabban nas, O the Rabb, O the cherisher of the people, O the one who looks after all the affairs of the people. You look after all the affairs of the people. Remove this sickness. Ishfe, ishfe, grant cure. Anta shafi, you are the only curer. You are the only one who gives cure. Look at the emphasis. Allahumma adhibil bas, remove the illness. Rabban nas, you are the Rabb of the people who looks after all the affairs of the people. Ishfi, remove. Adhibil bas, remove the illness. Again, ishfi, grant cure. Anta shafi, you are the only person who cures. La shifa illa shifauk, there is no cure but your cure. There is no cure but your cure. The doctor cannot give cure. His medicine cannot give cure. Sometimes you have two people with the same illness going to the same doctor, and the doctor comes up with the same diagnosis and he prescribes the same medicine. One is cured, the other is not cured. This is a sign that it is Allah who cures. La shifa illa shifa'u. Shifa'an la yugadiru saqaman wala marada. Look at this dua. Oh Allah, grant a shifa which does not leave any side effects. Complete shifa which does not leave any side effects, any after effects. La yugadiru saqama wala marada. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ala kulli shay'in qadir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has power over every loss and every benefit. Every harm, every loss and every profit, every harm and every loss, every benefit, every harm and every profit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls. Now if somebody begins to believe that no, this peer or this sheikh or the grave of this Nabi or grave of this Wali can give me children, they can give me rizq, they can remove my poverty, my depression, my sickness, my illness, my debt, this is shirk fi sifat. Because this controlling everything in the universe is the exclusive quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, a person has been permitted to use the resources, lawful resources that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created with this belief that this is only a means, this is only a resource. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes, this means and this resource will bring a positive result. And if Allah does not desire, then even if I have 100 means and 100 resources, there will always be a negative result. That is permissible. To seek help from halal resources with tawakkul. With tawakkul means reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this belief that He has control, He has control, He has control, He has control. One example. Second example. An attribute exclusive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ilm. Ilm. Inna Allaha alimun bi dhati sudur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the knower of what your hearts hide. What is in my heart only Allah knows. What is in your heart only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Alimul ghaybi wa shahada. He has the knowledge of the seen and the unseen. What is open, He has knowledge of it. And what is secret, He also has knowledge of that. What is hidden behind the veil, He has knowledge of that. And His knowledge is equal. His knowledge is equal. What He is able to see, when the light is on, He is able to see exactly in the same manner if the light is off and we are in darkness. What He is able to see during daylight, He is able to see those things during the darkness without any difference in His observation, in His knowledge. The knowledge that He has regarding everything in the heavens, He has the same knowledge regarding everything in the oceans. The knowledge that He has regarding the creatures walking on earth, He has the same knowledge regarding those creatures which are living in the earth. His knowledge is exactly same regarding each and every part of His creation. Because He is Wallahu bi kulli shay'in alim. He has the knowledge of each and everything at all times. His knowledge of the future is same as His knowledge of the past. So what He knows about the past, He knows about the future. Inna Allaha indahu ilmu sa'a. Exclusively, this knowledge, complete knowledge of each and everything, complete knowledge of each and everything, complete knowledge regarding each and every particle in His creation, complete knowledge regarding each and every second of the past, each and every second of the future, regarding the present. Exclusively, this is the quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No wali, no nabi shares this quality with Him. A wali and a nabi will only be able to inform you or me regarding the issues of the unseen when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him the ability to see that issue of the unseen. Then only he will be able to tell us. Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam is a few yards away from his father or a few kilometers away from his father. He is thrown in the well by his brothers. And Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was very much beloved to Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. He is crying, he is weeping, he is asking his sons, where is my son Yusuf? And they are saying a wolf has eaten him. A wolf has devoured him. We were busy playing and we became neglectful of Yusuf. We left him to look after our things. And when we looked, he was gone. The wolf has eaten him. And where is Yusuf alayhi salam? A few yards away. Or half a kilometer away. Or a kilometer away in the well. in Kinaan, which was the residence of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. Yaqub alayhi salam doesn't know. Now Yusuf alayhi salam is there in the darkness of the well, alone on his own. Yaqub alayhi salam is weeping. He wants to know where his son is, what has happened to his son. Yaqub alayhi salam doesn't know. A trading caravan passes by the well. They are taking him out. They are abducting him. They are taking him away far from Canaan, all the way to Egypt. Yaqub alayhi salam is not aware. He moves into the palace of the Aziz of Misr. He becomes the Aziz of Misr. Years pass by, years pass by. But Yaqub alayhi salam doesn't know. If Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam had the knowledge of the unseen, he would have known where his son was. A Nabi or a Wali or an angel, anybody in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has the knowledge of the unseen only that much which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs him or shows him. When Allah sends revelation through Jibreel, he comes to know. Or when Allah opens the veils, then the person is able to see. After many years, when the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam finally are made to recognize Yusuf alayhi salam by Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, hal alimtum ma fa'altum bi Yusuf wa akhi? Do you know what you have done to Yusuf? So they looked at each other, the brothers. Only we know what we had done to Yusuf. So this can't be anybody else other than Yusuf. Because only we know and Yusuf knows. Innaka la anta Yusuf. Are you Yusuf? Ana Yusuf. Yes, I am Yusuf. Wahada akhi. And this is Binyamin, my brother. Laqad mannallahu alayna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showered his ihsan upon us. And he has elevated us despite your trying to disgrace us. Despite your trying to put us down. Everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They apologized. How is my father? They informed him regarding Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam that he has cried so much that he has lost his sight. He cannot see. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam took off his shirt. And he said, take this with you. Take this with you and put it on the face of my father. His eyesight will be restored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To take away the eyesight and to restore the eyesight is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. But a Nabi or a Wali is able to do what is exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the power and the permission. Because every Nabi was not able to do this. And Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam also, there must have been many people blind in Egypt. But this is the only incident where he says, take my shirt, put it on the, throw it on the face of my father. When a Nabi or a Wali is able to do that, which is exclusively with Allah subhanahu, which is exclusive with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this becomes a miracle. And the meaning of miracle is, the meaning of miracle is that the public sees the face of the Nabi or the Wali, but the power behind the Nabi or the Wali is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take this shirt and throw it on the face of my father. Now the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, very happy, leaves Egypt towards Canaan, where Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam was. They begin their journey from Egypt. Yusuf alayhi salam was where? A few hundred yards away, and Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam could not smell him. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give him the power to do so. And now Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is hundreds of miles away. And when this caravan leaves with the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, What does Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam say in Kinaan? Inni la'ajidu riha Yusuf. Allahu Akbar. Inni la'ajidu riha Yusuf. I find the smell of my son Yusuf. It is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar radiyallahu anhu. This was the example of a Nabi, now Wali. Because all Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain, were awliya. Umar radiyallahu anhu is standing on the pulpit of Madina Munawwara, delivering his sermon, and suddenly he says, Ya Sariyah al-Jabal, Ya Sariyah al-Jabal. Oh Sariyah, take refuge in the mountain. Take refuge in the mountain. Take the support of the mountain. Take the support of the mountain. A battle was taking place between Muslims and non-Muslims. The commander-in-chief was Sariyah. And he was made the commander-in-chief by Umar radiallahu anhu. The army was dispatched by Umar radiallahu anhu. And suddenly during the Friday sermon, Umar radiallahu anhu stops for a while. And he says, Ya Sariyah al-Jabal, Ya Sariyah al-Jabal, Ya Sariyah al-Jabal. And then he continues with this khutbah. Now Sariyah is hundreds of miles away. With his army, with the Mujahideen, fighting a battle against the non-Muslims. When they returned, people asked, anything special during this journey? Anything extraordinary? Yes. We were surrounded by enemies. There was no possibility of rescuing ourselves. And suddenly we heard Amirul Mu'mineen calling out, Ya Sariyah al-Jabal, Ya Sariyah al-Jabal. Oh Sariyah, take refuge of the mountain. So slowly, slowly, slowly we moved back. We took refuge of the mountain. So now we were fighting the enemy from three sides and we overcame the enemies. Alhamdulillah. So Umar radiallahu anhu, when Allah desires to open the veils for him, is able to see what is happening hundreds of miles away. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not desire to do so, then when he is standing on the musalla of Masjid Nabawi and the enemy moves forward with a dagger, Umar radiallahu anhu does not know what's happening. If a wali or if a nabi had this exclusive quality of knowing everything whenever he desired, then Umar radiallahu anhu would have noticed somebody coming with a dagger from behind. Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam would have known that my son is only a few yards away. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would never have let his uncle Hamza go to for the battle of Uhud, because he would have known that my uncle is going to be slaughtered. He himself would never have gone, because he would have known. So what does he say? وَلَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ. O my messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, tell the people, وَلَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ. If I had the knowledge of the unseen, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, each and every detail, if I had the knowledge of the unseen, if that was exclusively my attribute, لَسْتَقْثَرْتُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ, then I would have amassed from all four directions khair only. وَمَا مَسَّنِيَ السُّوءُ, and shar and evil would never have touched me, because I would have taken my steps accordingly if I had known what is in the future. قُلْ, O my messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, La ya'lamu man fi samawati wa man fi al-ardi al-ghayba illa Allah. All those who live in the heavens and all those who live on this earth, none from amongst them knows the unseen except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever knowledge of the unseen we find in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wa sallam, or the awliya, rahimahumullahu ta'ala, it is that little bit, which Allah has granted them, the veil that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened for them. So knowing, having the knowledge of everything at all times, having the knowledge of each and every creature with all its details. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. Inna Allah indahu ilmu sa'ah. When Qiyamah will take place, only Allah knows. Wa yunazzilul ghayth. Where it will rain, only Allah knows. How much it will rain, only Allah knows. Whether that rain will be beneficial or harmful, only Allah knows. Sometimes rain could be beneficial, sometimes harmful. It brings flood. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ Allahu Akbar. And what is in the wombs of the females throughout the world at one time, only Allah knows. The doctor who is dealing with a particular patient, he may be aware of what's in the womb of this particular person. But Allah, He has the knowledge of what is in the womb of the mother, wombs of the mothers throughout the world. Allah has the knowledge of everything at one time. And not only the mothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of the what is in the wombs of all the females, animals, fishes, humans, genes. And the doctor or the nurse will only be able to say that this child is a male or is this child is a female. Allah's knowledge is so encompassing that this child is a male or a female. This child will be a Muslim or a non-Muslim. This child will be a wali or a fasik. This child will die in its infancy. This child will grow up to be a young man. This child will be able to grow up as a young lady. This child will reach old age. Only Allah subhanahu. He has knowledge of everything. The whole biodata. The whole profile. Many people try to create doubts in the verses of the Quran. They create doubt in this verse also, that the Quran says it is only Allah who knows what is in the wombs of the mothers. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. And nowadays the doctor are able to indicate that there is a male, there is a female. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used plural. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. مَا is to generalize. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of everything that is in all the wombs in His creation. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسُمْ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدَى. Nobody knows what he will do tomorrow, whether he will live till tomorrow, what he will do tomorrow, what will happen to him tomorrow. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. And nobody knows where a person will die, where he will live, for how long he will live. Nobody knows. We have a very long plan that now I am well settled in Leicester and I will not find a better place than Leicester. This is where I am going to settle down. This is the best place for me. And 2-3 years later, we change our mind. We have to move. So knowledge of everything is the exclusive quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now if somebody believes that this peer with his own authority, or Allah has granted him this authority to know everything that is in the hearts of the people, he is aware. This is shirk fi sifa. This amil can give me certain knowledge of the unseen. Has someone done black magic to me? If yes, who? If yes, how? Where are those objects of black magic hidden? In my back garden or somebody else's home? Knowledge of the unseen. Shirk fi sifa. May Allah save all of us. My sheikh is in Delhi, my sheikh is in Karachi, my sheikh is in Dubai. And whenever I am disturbed or perturbed and I say, oh my sheikh, immediately I find a change in my heart, because my sheikh can listen to what I am saying. He listens to my cry and his attention immediately changes my condition. Wallahu bi kulli shay'in alim. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the knowledge of each and everything in his creation. I will conclude with an incident of Imam Malik rahimahullahu ta'ala, a well-known incident. Imam Malik rahimahullahu ta'ala, a great imam, Imam Malik rahimahullahu ta'ala, and all these great names that we hear of, right from the times of the Tabi'een, the Sahaba were all pious, radiyallahu anhum wa radwan, but even these great personalities that we hear of, right from the times of the Tabi'een until the contemporary pious predecessors, the likes of Shaykhul Hadith, Mawlana Zakariya rahimahullahu ta'ala, they were all very, very firm in ilm and amal both. Imam Malik rahimahullahu ta'ala was a great faqih and a great muhaddith, a great alim, a great mufti. During his time, Madinatul Munawwara was markazul ilm, center of ilm. Despite that, the great ulama in Madina Munawwara used to say, Ayufta wa maliku fil Madina. Does any alim have the courage to give fatwa when Imam Malik is in Madina Munawwara? This was the culture of that time, that the seniors should be given preference. Seniors in ilm, seniors in taqwa. Go to that mufti, go to that alim, question him. That was the culture amongst the sahaba, the culture amongst the tabi'in, the culture amongst the pious predecessors. Because the fatwa is to guide a person on the right path. And if there is somebody better than me, then I should refer him to that person. Very pious as well. Imam Malik rahimahullahu ta'ala. He would not leave Madina Munawwara because he wanted to die and be buried in Madina Munawwara. Yahi zindagi guzarun, yaha maut mujhko aaye. The poet is praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and wishing, Yahi zindagi guzarun, O Allah. Only if I am able to spend my entire life in Madina Munawwara. Yahi zindagi guzarun, yahi maut mujhko aaye. And if only I am able to die on this blessed soil. Yahi zindagi guzarun, yaha maut mujhko aaye. Yaha mar ke khaak hona. To die on this blessed soil and to be buried in this blessed soil and to become dust in this blessed soil, that in reality is life. Yahi zindagi guzaru, yaha maut mujhko aaye, yaha mar ke khaak hona, yahi asal mein hai jeena, ye tera karam hai maula. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhu also used to make dua, Allahumma rzuqni shahadatan fi sabilik, O Allah, grant me shahada, martyrdom in your path. I want to die as a martyr, but not outside Madina Munawwara. Waj'al mawti fi baladi habibik, Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And O Allah, grant me death in the city of your beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah grant us all this great honor of dying in the city of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Becoming the neighbor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Being buried with, according to Imam Malik rahimahullahu ta'ala, 10,000 sahaba rizwanullahi ta'ala di majmain. 10,000 sahaba are buried in Jannatul Baqi. So Imam Malik rahimahullahu ta'ala, he also desired that I wish to be buried. Our great akabir also desired. Many akabir from Deoband are buried in Jannatul Maala and also in Jannatul Baqi. Shaykhul Hadith Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya rahimahullahu ta'ala. His Shaykh Mawlana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri rahimahullahu ta'ala. The great alim and the great Shaykh, the author of Tarjumanus Sunnah, Mawlana Badri Alam Mirti rahimahullahu ta'ala. Many akabir are buried in Makkah Mukarrama, Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki rahimahullahu ta'ala, Mawlana Rahmatullah Kiranvi rahimahullahu ta'ala, all these Deobandi scholars and many more. So it was the desire of Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala to be also buried in the land of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he would not go out of Madina Munawwara because he had become old. And he feared that if I left Madina Munawwara and if I was to die elsewhere, I would deprive myself of being buried in this blessed place. But sometimes he would feel the urge to go for Umrah, go for Hajj, and cool his eyes by observing the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this desire, burning desire to be buried in Jannatul Baqi, would not let him leave Madina Munawwara. It so happened that one night, in his sleep, he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his dream. And in the dream, the dream was so real that in the dream, he felt the urge to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if he had the knowledge of the time of his death. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in the other world now. And it's possible that through connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he may be able to inform me. So in the dream he said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you have any knowledge? Can you tell me for how long I am going to live in this world? And the reason behind this question was that if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to say, you still have one more year to go, then I will go to Makkah Mukarramah, perform Hajj and come back. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man ra'ani fil manami fa innahu ra'ani. One who observes me in his dream, then he has actually observed me. This is a true dream. فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَا يَتَمَثَّلُ بِي. Shaitan cannot impersonate me. Shaitan is unable to impersonate me. Because there has to be something in common between two people to impersonate. And there is nothing common between the two. Shaitan is nothing but dhalalat. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is nothing but hidayat. So there is nothing in common. He cannot impersonate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked this question, Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala replied by showing Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala five fingers. Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, before he could ask more details, got up from the sleep and the dream was broken. Now Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala is thinking, is it 5 minutes or 5 days or 5 weeks or 5 months or 5 years? What is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicating towards? So during the time of Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, the person who was the most expert in interpreting dreams was Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah ta'ala. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is well known for the interpretation of dreams. Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah ta'ala was so expert that during his time, he was given the title of Yusuf Hadihil Ummah. This is the Yusuf of this Ummah in interpreting the dreams. So Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala sent one of his students to Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah ta'ala, and he said that you go to Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala and tell him that a person has seen this dream, and do not mention my name. Sometimes certain things are better kept secret. And those were people of very high status. Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala did not want to disclose to other people that he had seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his dream. Not like us. Despite all our filth, if we see just a few seconds of good dream, then we will add so many things to it and start relating that. And that dream will continue to change every day. Because we will continue to add things to it. And just on the basis of that dream, we begin to assume ourselves are saintly. I always tell my friends, don't look at the dream world. Look at the real life. You might see yourself flying in the air in your dream, but are you flying in your real life?
Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala said, don't disclose my name. This person said, a person has seen this dream. And he narrated the whole dream to Imam Malik rahimahullah, Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah ta'ala. He was also a very great faqih, muhaddis, great muhaddis. His name is found in the chains of narrations of Bukhari Sharif. But Allah had exclusively granted him this knowledge of the interpretation of the dream. He was exclusively special. So he said, who had seen this dream? So he said, that I cannot tell you. So he said, I will not interpret this dream until I know who has seen this dream. And he was so expert that he said that my judgment is that Imam Malik has seen this dream. Because the gesture that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is using to talk to Imam, to talk to this person who is this seeing this dream is very academic. And only a person of the caliber of Imam Malik rahimahullahu ta'ala could be talked to in this manner. So there can be nobody who had seen this dream but Imam Malik rahimahullahu ta'ala. He said, I will have to go and ask the person. If he permits me, then I will come back and tell you. He went to Imam Malik rahimahullahu ta'ala. Imam Malik rahimahullahu ta'ala said that if this is the only way he will interpret the dream, then you may tell him that it's my dream. So he went and he said that yes, it is Imam Malik rahimahullahu ta'ala who saw this dream. So Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullahu ta'ala said that it is not 5 minutes, it is not 5 days, 5 hours, 5 days, or 5 weeks, or 5 months, or 5 years. Allah's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is indicating towards the verse of the Quran. The verse of the Quran which gives this message, the verse of the Quran which gives this message that the knowledge of the unseen only Allah has. Inna Allah indahu ilmu sa'ah. Only Allah has the knowledge of the day of Qiyamah, when it will take place. وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ. Only Allah has the knowledge of the rain. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. Only Allah has the knowledge of what is in the wombs of the females. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدَى. Only Allah knows what a person will be able to do tomorrow. What will happen to him tomorrow. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. And only Allah knows where a person will die. By showing 5 fingers, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has hinted, has made a gesture towards this verse, which indicates, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. Only Allah is all-knowing, all-aware. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving this message to Imam Malik rahimahullahu ta'ala, that I don't know when you will die. So the summary is that al-ishraku billah, it is the greatest crime. From amongst the crimes, that at the top of the list is al-ishraku billah. And shirk is of two types. Shirk fi zat and shirk fi sifat. Shirk fi zat, to associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his person and being. To believe that there is somebody like him. Or to believe that there is nothing like Allah. But to behave with another person with reverence the way you would behave with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sajda is only for Allah, you would carry out sajda in front of him. Tawaf is only for Allah, you would carry out tawaf for him. You would say that if my this need is fulfilled, then I will slaughter an animal for this person or that person or this objective. This is shirk fi zat. And shirk fi sifat, to associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in those attributes which are exclusive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, qudrat. For example, ilm. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to understand tawheed, to understand shirk. And may Allah keep us steadfast on tawheed, and may Allah save us from shirk. Come what may, my brothers, come what may. Tolerate everything, but do not even go near shirk.
We, the people who come from the Indian subcontinent especially, whenever overcome by calamities, instead of resorting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of having patience and continue to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after a few weeks or months, we turn our faces away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we turn to the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this belief that they also have the attributes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. And without knowing, we become the victims of shirk. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard all of us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكن من الخاسرين ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وعملا مقبولا وشفاء من كل داء اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع وقلب لا يخشع ودعاء لا يسمع ونفس لا تشبع يا مفهم سليمان فهمنا يا معلم آدم وإبراهيم علمنا ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا وهيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله ونعوذ بك من الشر كله اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشايخنا ولمحبينا ولمحسنينا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.